Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. Left hand this time. Amen. Amen. Well, I'll tell you, it is a joy. Each and every time we're able to come back home, I count it a privilege to be able to come back to this church and know that it's the same. To me, that is a blessing. That is a tremendous, tremendous blessing. To be able to see a lot of the same faces, many of the same faces that I seen when I was my kid's age, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and it's just a privilege. Thank you for letting me have the opportunity. But tonight, I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help. With God's help, I want to share a thought with you that, you know, when God called me to preach in 2007, October of 2007, I thought, what in the world are you going to do with me? And I still think that. But in 2009, September of 2009, I answered and surrendered the call to preach, made it public, and my pastor and I, we kind of set out a plan. And, you know, God has opened the door across the country in a number of places for us to have open invitations to come and preach. And I'm thankful for that, but they're not invitations per se. And I made a promise to the Lord and a commitment to my family that I would not chase a pulpit. And so anytime the Lord does present the opportunity to preach, I told him as long as he provides the way there, we're going to preach. And so along the way, you know, I've seen some things in our short 10 years of serving the Lord and being faithful in our home church in Omaha, Nebraska. God has opened the door for us to have many facets of ministry there. We work with our young people, our teenagers, bus workers, and different things. And you know, you see families come and go sometimes. And if you just pay attention, sometimes you'll be able to understand some of the reasons why they go. And so tonight, again, with the Lord's help, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you from 2 Timothy. We're going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read a few verses there, and then we'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 4 for the remaining portion. But again, I just want to be a help and a blessing to you tonight with God's help, and we'll see what he can do. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, "This know also, in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady-minded, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." The Bible says, from such, turn away. You know, we see a time today where what was just read is evident everywhere you look. You cannot walk down the streets, no matter what town. I'm from we live in Omaha, Nebraska. We're roughly 750,000 people if you count the suburbs, surrounding areas. It doesn't matter whether you're in Omaha, Nebraska, Denver, Colorado, even Fremont, Iowa, which is just 20 minutes away from here. It doesn't matter where you go, sin is evident. Sin is everywhere you go. You can't get away from it, because the devil has it everywhere, and it's a snare to God's people. And so turn with me over to just one page over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to talk to you and I tonight about a man named Demas. Demas is only mentioned a few times in the Word of God, but at one time, Demas was a blessing to the Apostle Paul. At one time, Demas was used of God. And tonight, I want us to look at some of the things that I have to believe why Demas forsook Paul. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Father, we love you. We do thank you so much for the opportunity and the privilege that it is to open your Word. God, I pray that, Father, you would use it tonight. Help this simple servant, God, convey your message to your people. God, move me out of the way, Father, so you can speak. God, we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in verse 9, Paul is talking and writing to Timothy, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed to Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him for thee. for he is profitable to me for the ministry. You know, again, there's only a couple of other portions of the Word of God where Demas is mentioned, and there's not really much to be said about him, but I think we can gather from Scripture here that something happened along the way that caused Demas to forsake Paul. I don't believe that it was a relationship problem. I don't believe that there was an issue with communication. I just don't get that. The Bible says that he forsook Paul for the love of this present world, for the love of the world. Now, when we first started going to Midwestern Baptist Church in Omaha, Nebraska, it's actually January of 2007. It's amazing how fast time goes. But coming up on 10 years, it was a year into us being there and being faithful that our pastor asked my wife and I to get into the bus ministry. And we had a family that was already running the north route, and so we were just coming on to help. Now, they had been doing the north route for, goodness, probably over 10 years, I believe, if I remember right. Well over 10 years. And they were faithful. They'd been coming. Their kids at that time were in their teenage years. And so, you know, my family at the time, you know, we had, in fact, our daughter was only 2, I believe, when we first started riding the bus. And so we watched them and we kind of studied them. And you know, when you're around certain people, you kind of develop similar habits if you're not careful. And so we started noticing a pattern of different things that started taking place. They would miss Sundays, and lo and behold, about 4.5 years later, Brother Dave comes to me in passing. They rode the bus with us to church. On the way back out at noon, he said, "By the way, the bus route's yours. We're not going to do the bus anymore." I'm like, whoa, just like that, really, you know? And so the more I thought about that, I really had to think about why and what happened. You know, because this man was faithful. His family was faithful. You know, I looked up to him. And, you know, by the way, you're not to put any man on a pedestal. It doesn't matter who it is. But, you know, I looked up to him. I respected him. I had admiration for him and his faithfulness and how he was raising his family. But I had to really start thinking about what was it that caused him to forsake the bus ministry. Now, at the time, he was also involved in a few other ministries, and so his plate was rather full. But you don't substitute. I just don't believe that's right. If you're going to leave something, you do it in the right way. You know. Talk to preacher, talk to your pastor. Say, look, you know, I think I have a little too much on my plate. You know, what can we do to either shrink the plate or, you know, get some more help? Let's just do it the right way. Not just, hey, there's the bus ministry. You just don't do that. And so as I was thinking about this and just pondering it, my heart was broken. And sometime later, probably less than 2 years, they're out of church. Their family is out of church. The daughter is still faithful in a different church. Standards are gone. Brother Dave, long hair. They were divorced, married again to a woman he'd met 6 months prior. There's no communicable relationship between the dad and the kids. The kids resent the dad. And I'm just thinking, what in the world happened? I mean, it wasn't something where the light switch flipped off and, okay, I'm done. That's it. I'm done. It just doesn't work like that. The devil does not work like that. The devil gets in and he starts throwing darts. The Bible talks about it in Ephesians chapter 6. And we're to wear the whole armor of God. We're to put on the whole armor of God so that we're able to withstand all the fiery darts of the wicked. And the devil, when he throws those darts, please understand me, he throws them with pinpoint accuracy. He will find our weaknesses. And by the way, we all have weaknesses. We are all flesh. By the way, our flesh did not get saved the day we trusted Christ as our Savior. But when the devil throws those darts, he throws them with pinpoint accuracy. And he exploits our weaknesses. And if we're not careful, if we don't guard our hearts, and if we don't put on the whole armor of God, we could fall subject just as this family did, and just as we see Demas here. Demas forsook Paul for the love of the world. I don't have time to go through all the verses, but there are so many verses on the world and how the world has a pull and a draw to God's people, and how the devil uses those types of things, whether it be music, whether it be Hollywood, whether it be the apparel that Hollywood brings. You know, my pastor says all the time that he firmly believes that America started going downhill when the Beatles came to America. And if you look at it historically, I believe he's not too far away from the truth there. But all that aside, how does that pertain to me, Brother Brown? Where does that leave us? Well, hey, I'm glad you asked. Amen. Listen, Demas forsook Paul because he loved the world. Okay, so where do we draw the conclusion? Well, if we're not careful, we can also fall into the devil's trap. We live in such a fast-paced day and age today. Everybody's busy. We're always doing something. There's so many different things going on, especially those of us who have families, young families, kids still in the house. There's just so many different things going on. I talk to people all the time. I got to run. I talked to somebody the other day, and they're constantly traveling for their child's sports activities. You know, and those sports activities take them away from their church on Sundays. And I thought, man, how in the world are you getting fed? How in the world are you able to do that? And what happened? Because at one time, that wasn't the case. They were faithful in church. And, you know, it's just amazing to me how the devil has that draw. But whether we're coming or going, we have to realize that we need God's word in our lives. The Bible says we're to have it, we're to memorize it, we're to hide it on the tables of our hearts. I've heard it said that time right now is going by, years are going by like months, months are going by like weeks, weeks are going by like days. And it is so true. We're running out of time, and there is much work to be done yet for the kingdom of God. And tonight, again, let's look at Demas and some of the things that I believe caused Demas to fall. Number one, I believe Demas forsook his convictions. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things in which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." You know, convictions don't just drop away overnight. They take some time to acquire. They take some time to learn as you study God's word. They take some time to grow on you. You have to get to the point where you're comfortable wearing your convictions. Amen? It's almost like a good suit. I don't think I've ever had a good suit. No. But you have to be comfortable with your convictions. And by the way, your convictions need to come from the word of God, not from what the world has to offer. I believe Demas forsook his convictions. I believe that was the first thing, and like I said, it didn't happen overnight. Maybe through, I have to believe that through Paul's, their travels, and maybe through these towns and these cities that they're traveling through to spread the gospel, you know, maybe Demas kind of got carried away and said, you know, Brother Paul, I think I'm gonna go down here and maybe walk this street down here by myself and you know, maybe see what'll happen. And maybe down the way he's walking down the road there and maybe he sees something that catches his eye. And maybe as he's walking along and he sees that something that catches his eye, you know, it draws his attention and he's there and it captivates him. And by the way, what he's looking at isn't right. Maybe that something is got to be ungodliness. Maybe it's, in those days, there were harlots everywhere. There were soothsayers. There was sorcery, witchcraft, those types of things that Paul was constantly fighting and battling to get the word of God out. But I have to believe that Demas had to have seen something that caught his eye. And then maybe as they were traveling along, maybe it's that one besetting sin that we just can't get rid of. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, no matter how much time we spend on our knees, we just can't get victory over it. Maybe everywhere they traveled, that one thing haunted Demas. Maybe that one thing just would not let go. And the devil, as I mentioned before, with pinpoint accuracy, kept throwing that dart in the same place over and over and over and over and over again. Listen, I believe Demas forsook his convictions. By the way, where are our convictions? What convictions do you and I have tonight that we could stand firm on, that we know without a shadow of a doubt, they're not going anywhere? What do you and I have from the Word of God that we can plant our fist on and point our finger at and say, that verse is mine, I know that's the way God wants me, I know that's how God wants me to live, and I'm going to live it by God's grace, or I'm going to be dead. You know, listen, when God brought me to the place where I surrendered to His will and I got assurance of my salvation, December 28, 2006. That was a very deep, dark place for me. I spent a lot of time in drugs and alcohol and different things and living in wickedness. And God had to bring me to a place. He had to basically bring me to my deathbed. Had to go see a doctor, and they thought that I had blood clots throughout my body. And long story short, the night before we were to go to the hospital, I surrendered all. I got on my face. I talked to my brother, and we prayed. And I felt like I had no choice. God was either gonna take me, one way or the other, I was gonna go. I was gonna die. Once I got things settled, I had a peace in my heart. I got assurance of my salvation. And immediately I knew that regardless of whether God took me home or whether He allowed me to stay and live on this earth, I knew that I had a peace in my heart. That next day, I went to the hospital, went to the doctor. Actually, I went to my doctor. They were worried about things. They sent me, wanted me to rush me over by ambulance to the hospital and run some tests. I said, no, I'll drive. So we get there to the hospital, and they did ultrasounds, CAT scans, all kinds of different things. And the only thing that they could come up with, they didn't see any blood clots. The only thing that they came up with was a herniated disc in my neck, which was causing all these other symptoms that replicated stroke, numbness, tingling, different things like that. And I have to believe that had I not gotten on my face the night before, had I not gotten my life right, had I not confessed my sin before an almighty God, had I not gotten assurance of my salvation, I don't believe I would have made it to the hospital. And because of that, I know without a shadow of a doubt, as sure as I'm standing here tonight, if I were to ever touch a drop of alcohol, if I were to ever touch any illicit drugs, I know that without a shadow of a doubt, God would strike me dead. That's my conviction. That's my conviction. By the way, I also believe that a Christian life without prayer can become a failure. It can become a failure. I've seen it happen. Christian life without the Word of God is miserable. I believe that Christian life without service is dead. Listen to me, if you're not doing something for God, I don't care whether it's praying, teaching a class, sweeping, it doesn't matter. Get out and get busy for God. Our time is running out, and we got to redeem the time. We're not going to be able to get it back. And there's many, many, many lost souls that need the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to do the best that we can to reach them for the glory of God. I believe that the Christian life without tithing is robbery. I believe that the Christian life without fellowship, brotherly love, I believe it's a lonely life. I believe that a Christian life without obedience to the Word of God is a selfish life. Listen, when you and I aren't willing to give ourselves over to the Word of God, to the glory of God, when He gave us so much, I believe that's selfishness. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, we're always busy. There's always so much to do, Brother Brown. There's always something to do that I just don't have time to stay in my Bible. Hey, you know, I got to work. I've got a family. You know, I love to hunt. Amen. You know, sports, cars, boats, fishing, hobbies, whatever it is. Listen, I'm not against any of that stuff, any of those things, unless it comes between you and God. When it becomes a hindrance, when it becomes a wall, when it becomes something that keeps you from God's throne, that's when you start to worry. Demas forsook Paul because he loved the present world. He forsook his convictions. I believe the second thing he forsook was the fellowship of God's people. Maybe he got tired of being around Paul, the Apostle Paul, and hearing, you know, the same thing over and over again about how good God is. And maybe some of those things just kind of got repetitious to him. By the way, if you ever get to a point in your life where the Word of God becomes boring to you, please come and see this man right here. Maybe spend another 10, 15 minutes on your knees in prayer and begging God to make the Word of God important to you in your life and your family again. Because when you are at that place and when I am at that place, that's a very, very dark place and a very bad place to be. Listen, the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Listen, you and I need to be around God's people. You and I need to have that encouragement. We need to have that fellowship. We need to have that accountability. By the way, who are you accountable to? In your home, in your life, in your family. Who are you accountable to for your convictions? Who are you accountable to for your Bible reading, for your prayer time? Do you have somebody in your family? Or do you have something that holds you accountable in your life? We cannot forsake our convictions. We've got to stand firm on what we have from the Word of God. We've got to stand firm on what God has given us. Listen, we had the three Hebrew boys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, when they faced the fiery furnace, King Nebuchadnezzar gave them another opportunity. He didn't want to send them into the fire. He didn't want to send them into the furnace. But when they stood firm and I believe they stood tall. I believe they stood firm. I believe they stood proud. I know they stood alone. But because of those things, they stood delivered. I wonder how many of us could say we've stood delivered because we have stood firm on our convictions. I wonder how many of us have gotten to the point in our lives where we are starting to forsake the fellowship of God's people. It's a dangerous place to be. I believe, thirdly, he forsook the will of God for his life. We were at a camp just a couple weeks ago with our young people, our teens and our juniors. And we were at a church that Brother Reeves, he has a North Platte Baptist Church out in western Nebraska. And he's a good man, a really good man. His standards for his church they're up there. We have high standards. There's nobody that stands behind his pulpit and preaches without a white shirt. I mean, that's something. He's got a Bible conviction over it, and praise the Lord for it. But there were some things that, you know, just some little things, you know, that I thought, man, wow, that's kind of crazy, but, you know, right on. All right, good. Listen, I'm not worried about somebody else pulling me up to their level, to their convictions. It's those that I'm worried about dragging me down. That is what I'm worried about. That is what I don't want to happen anywhere. I don't want to see that to God's people. See that happen to God's people. And so we have to keep and stand firm on our convictions. We have to stay in fellowship with God's people. We have to continue to encourage one another, edify one another, build each other up. Because I'm telling you, each and every one of us are facing the same battles, same heartaches, the same struggles, the same trials. And sometimes we feel like we're alone. Sometimes you and I can get into this trap that the devil sets that nobody cares about you. Nobody cares about what you're going through. Nobody cares about your heartaches and your trials. By the way, it's a lie. Because God does. Even if nobody else in this room cares about what you're doing, God still cares. God loves. Listen, He knows the number of hairs that I've lost on my head. Amen. He knows everything about my life and yours, and He wants to be a part of it. He wants you and I to have a relationship with Him. Listen, let's not forsake Him because of the love of this present world. Listen, you and I, we have to be careful to stand firm on our convictions. We have to stand firm on our convictions. It's okay to have somebody pull us up a little bit. That's okay. But don't let anybody tear us down. Don't let anybody drag us down lower than where we're already at. We have to be around God's people. Listen, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Listen, this place is here for a reason. God has placed Ottumwa Baptist Temple here, specifically in the heart of Ottumwa, Iowa, for you to come and worship God, for you to come and hear the Word of God preached. By the way, you're the lighthouse of Ottumwa, Iowa. Did you know that? And I can confidently say that anybody that steps foot in this church on any given Sunday, any given Wednesday night, they are going to get the Bible. They are going to get the Word of God. I'm confident in that. But we've got to be careful not to let our testimony slip. Because it's easy to get caught up in the trap of the devil and to let those things slip. People are watching us all the time. People are waiting. The world is waiting for us to trip up and fall. They're waiting for us to just call it quits. They're waiting for us to throw in the towel. They're waiting for us to just slip so that they can say, "Ha ha, you said you were a Christian. That Jesus didn't help you." They're waiting for you to forsake all. Tonight, I hope that this is going to be a help to somebody in here. The Bible says, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." He forsook his convictions. I believe he forsook the fellowship of God's people. I believe he forsook the will of God in his life. By the way, God has a perfect plan for your life and mine. He has a purpose for each and every one of us to be on the face of this earth. And when God has a plan and God has a purpose, His power will also be evident. He's got the power to see it through. I call it the three P's: God's plan, God's purpose, and God's power. You have all three of those put together in your life, and you're fully surrendered and fully submitted to the authority of this book. God can do some amazing things in your life. Jeremiah said over in 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." You know, I'm afraid God's people are in a rut, and they forget that they can call on an almighty God, and they can say, "God, please, this is where I'm at. You know where I'm at." But God wants to hear us say it. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to be full of humility and tell Him where we're at so that He can come down and He can deliver us. And we can have a part, and He can be a part of our lives. He longs to be a part of our lives. I believe He also forsook His testimony. Your testimony and my testimony are very valuable. I believe that if we're not careful, it's very easy to scar and mar your testimony. And if we do not guard our testimony, we're as close to Christ as some people see in the world. You know, when people see you and I leave from our churches and from this place and from our church, they know what this is. They know that this book is preached here. They know who is represented here. And so, they're just waiting for one of us just to slip up. We were on our way home on the bus from camp. And we had, all of our teenagers and all of our young people. And our assistant pastor was driving. driving the bus, and his wife was following us, and I was sitting up in the front of the bus talking to him, and he gets a phone call, and it's his wife. He looks at me and says, can you go see who just threw something out the window of the bus? And I'm thinking, okay, from bus kids, I can understand that. I mean, when a bus kid throws a wrapper out of my bus, we stop at the nearest parking lot. I will make him or her get out, and we will walk for 10 minutes picking up trash and putting them in a bucket or the trash can from the bus. I guarantee they will never do it again. So I went back there to find out who threw something out of the window. It was his daughter. Assistant Pat Brother Mark's daughter. And she felt really bad. And, so I had to go up. Brother Mark, he says, who was it? I said, brother. Who was it? Man, it was your daughter. Oh, he almost slammed on the brakes right then and there and went back to ream her neck. But anyhow, I just said, listen, it was a can of pop. It was a half-empty can of pop that flew out of Midwestern Baptist Church bus. Midwestern Baptist Church is written on the side of the bus. It's painted there. It is permanent. It is not going away. It doesn't fade away just because somebody throws something out of the window. I said, listen, somebody may have just passed or driven by the other side of the interstate and seen that thing come out of that window. The testimony of this church has just been marred. May not be to all, but maybe it could be that one person. And by the way, God cares about that just one person. He cared about you and I. So we have to guard our testimony. Our testimony is valuable. Not only for us to have it be a witness to the world, but we need to have a good testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lastly, I believe Demas, in forsaking Paul, I believe lastly, he forsook the word of God in his life. Listen, and I mentioned it before, when this book gets boring to you, there is something wrong in your life. There is something hindering you. The devil has something that he is using to hinder you and to keep you out of this book. There's something in your life that's keeping you from the Word of God. And that's where you need to just shut yourself in for however long it takes. A day, 2 days, 10 days. However long it takes for you to get a hold of God and for God to get a hold of your heart to get you back in this book. Verse 10 says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. We have a responsibility to God. We have a responsibility to God's people. We're to be a witness to all. How do we keep ourselves from going down the same road Demas did? How do we stay on the right track? How do we get to a point in our lives where we can stand firm on our convictions, where we can stay in good fellowship with God's people, and we can stay where God wants us to be? How can we get there? Well, Proverbs 10:27 says, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the fear of the wicked shall be shortened." Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Listen, we've got to have a fear of God. We've got to have a fear of the wrath of an almighty God in your life and mine. Listen, if I'm not careful, and if I'm not careful and I get carried away in my own life, in my family's life, not only can I ruin my testimony, not only can I ruin my life, but if I ruin my life, I ruin my family's life. I bring them down with me. We have to have a fear of God. I believe the fear of God has gone away in this country. I believe this country needs revival once again. And the only way we're going to get and see revival in this country is if God's people get back on our knees and we pray, as 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. I believe that verse is the recipe for revival. But if it doesn't start with you and I, it can't start with anybody else. We have to do what we can to stay in the Word of God. We've got to live it. We've got to breathe it. And we've got to share it. But we can't do that if we do not have a fear of God. When I threw booze and alcohol away and God got rid of those things in my life, and by the way, it was only Him, because there was no detox, there was no DTs, there was absolutely nothing. There was no withdrawals. That morning, I woke up. I had no urge. I had no desire. I had no temptation. I did not want anything to do with any of those things. Had somebody tell me, well, that's just mind over matter. Yeah, I don't think so. That's supernatural. That's only by the power of God. That's only by the power of God. I believe God can do that and so much more in our lives if we would just yield to the Word of God, if we would just yield to the will of God in our lives. God wants to work in your life and mine. But again, if we're not careful, we can end up like Demas, mentioned just a few times in the Word of God. And then our life is done. And there's coming a day where we will stand and give an account to an Almighty God for what we've done with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says over in chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." If we're not careful, we can mar the crown that God has waiting for you and I. And by the way, that crown, we're going to, at some point in heaven, I don't know when, but at some point, we're going to place that crown at our Savior's feet. When we look at that crown and we look at our Savior, are we going to say, "I'm sorry, this was all I could do"? Are we going to be unhappy with what we've accomplished for Jesus Christ? Are we going to say, "I should have done more"? Demas forsook Paul for the love of the world. The devil used some things in his life. And again, we have to be careful with the devil in our lives. The devil has such a strong pull. But if you and I are not careful, that moment when we set our crown at the Savior's feet, I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." There's no way we can ever meet God's expectations for our lives. But the Bible says we are to do all unto the glory of God. We are to do our best. Anything less than our best is sin. How do we not end up like Demas? We need to spend more time on our knees and less time in front of the TV. We need to spend more time in the Word of God and less time in the world. I get weary and I get scared and I get frightened when I see people starting to skip church for sports activities and for different things. That tells me that the Word of God isn't as important as maybe it once was. I get weary when you walk into a family's home that you thought was a solid family, and you see a couple of different Bibles laying around the house, and there's dust on it. It tells me that it hasn't been opened in some time. We're not perfect people. This is not a perfect church. I'm not a perfect man. None of us in here are perfect. We are all flesh. But if we're not careful, the devil can use that for his glory and render us useless for Christ. Listen, when Demas creeps in, and you notice some of these patterns in your life, maybe not even in your life, maybe it's somebody else, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a friend. When you see some of these things, you see the convictions start to slip. You see that they don't want to be around people anymore. You see that maybe they're not so concerned about being in the center of God's will. Maybe you see some things that their testimony, where their testimony isn't what it ought to be and what it used to be. Maybe when they start forsaking the Word of God, come over and put an arm around them. Say, brother or sis, we need to talk. Can I have a word of prayer with you? We got some things to discuss. The Bible says we're to edify one another. We're to hold each other accountable. Now, that's not you and I saying, you're in sin, you're rotten, you know. That's not what we're supposed to do. In compassion and in love, we're to come to each other and we're to lift each other back up. The Bible says a just man falleth 7 times, but he riseth up again. I wonder tonight, do you see somebody in your life or in your home that is trending the way Demas did? Do you see somebody who is starting to forsake their convictions, who has lost some of the fervency that they once had? You see somebody who doesn't want to be around God's people. Maybe their prayer life is starting to dwindle. Maybe the Word of God isn't as important as it once was. Put an arm around them. Pray with them. Encourage them. Lift them up. Be a friend. Be a brother, a sister in Christ. The devil is after each and every one of us, one by one. And if we don't look out for one another, it's open game. It's open season. How is your testimony tonight? How are your convictions? What convictions do you stand firm on in your life? Are you in the center of God's perfect will? How's your prayer life? Are you praying as often as you once were? Or do you just not have time anymore? God made time for you and I by hanging on a cross, coming to this sin-cursed world, shed his innocent blood to pay for your sins and mine so that we would have a home in eternity when we die. The least we can do is give him our all. Let's stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed.